Once again, across America and around the world, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I want to remind everyone out there listening who can make it that I will be at the Self-Reliance Expo and Fair 93, and that's going to be at the Denver Coliseum, September 16th through the 19th, 1993. I'll be at booth number 64 all of those days if you'd like to stop by and say hello. And if we can swing it, we're going to be doing our shows live nightly from the Denver Coliseum or from the hotel, whichever it turns out to be. So it should be pretty interesting if you'd like to stop by and be a part of the show or be a live audience, so to speak, which we've only had once. You're perfectly welcome to do that. That's if everything goes right. I'll be the keynote speaker Thursday, September the 16th at 7 p.m. I'll be speaking again Friday, September the 17th at 11:30 a.m. And again, the keynote speaker Saturday, September the 18th, 8:30 p.m. And sometime during those days, the 16th through the 19th, I will be conducting two workshops. My workshops are generally very long in length. I'll be covering some very important subjects. They will cost you money if you're a CAGI member. However, as always, you will receive a substantial discount, and that's just one of the many benefits that CAGI members are privy to. So I'm going to check here and see who's on the line because I'm expecting an important call. Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading.
Hello, Gene. That's who I hoped it would be. Gene is here, folks, to give us a rundown on what's happening in the precious metal markets for all of you out there who are interested. And he's going to be doing this regularly, 5 past the hour, every single Monday night. Gene, what have you got for us tonight?
Well, a couple, three things I wanted to just briefly update. And this is something I hope that your listeners will definitely take advantage of. One of the problems that most people, the mistake they make is they chase a market, such as like the stock market right now. They're chasing it at the tune of $10 billion a month.
Great hook, isn't it?
Yeah, and when they pull the rug out from underneath it, they're going to be devastated, absolutely devastated. And the same mistake will often happens in the gold market. People will chase it. And you should buy low and sell high, and many of our listeners are never going to sell. They're going to use it for down the road for protection and so on and so forth, but they never want to, they want to buy it at the best price possible. And I guess the point I'm making, back in mid-July, gold had reached up at about $407 an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we were having phenomenal weeks in sales, and people were calling in like crazy because they were chasing the market, like 90% of the people normally do. But now that gold's pulled back $40, you can't hardly give it away, where it should just be the opposite. Gold has pulled back down to about the mid-360 range, and in a market such as what we're in, we're going to see 5 steps up and 3 steps down. And when you see these pullbacks, those are the times that you need to take advantage of the market and buy in. It's like, having a sale. If you can at all, correlate, you don't buy anything at full price. Buy it on sale, and that's what we got right now. This is an opportunity to get in and buy in at a good price, probably as low as you're going to see it.
How many times have we seen, Gene, people wait until gold starts going up, and then they all rush down, and in the process, when the gold is rising fast over a short period of time. They buy, they end up buying at the top end, and they don't do well for themselves. Why is that?
Well, it's just a they call it a herd mentality, and people will watch the market. They're scared to get off the fence, and they sit there and watch it, and they suddenly see it after several months, after several moves. They think, man, this is really doing something. I better get in. But they don't realize they've missed, you know, probably 50% or 75% of the market.
That's right.
And what happens, and it's unfortunate, and I'm hoping that your listening audience will give credence to this and pay heed, is that 25% of the people do good in any market. The rest of them either break even or lose money. And the whole point is we don't want your audience to lose money. We want them to do well in this market, to get it at the cheapest possible price. One of the other things I want to talk to your audience about is a thing that, you know, what we're trying to accomplish with your audience is to get them as much gold as possible for the cheapest possible price, so that when everything else fails, which we know that it's eventually going to fail, that they're going to have some money in their pocket, real money, some gold, some silver that's going to have its lasting value, and to have as much of it as possible. And I want to propose a question out there and have them, because this would take too long to get into detail here tonight, but if I could show you a way that you could own twice as much gold for the same amount of money, would it be worth your while to check it out? In other words, right now, if $10,000 would buy you 20, 25 ounces of gold, if I could show you how you could take $10,000 and get you 40 to 50 ounces of gold, would that be worth your while? I can do that. I can show you how that's done. It's called ratio trading. And if you'll call me tomorrow, I'll explain it in detail how you can take X amount of dollars now and invest it in the market and trade it off later on when the ratio spreads apart to a 5-to-1 ratio. Right now, it's currently at a 2-to-1 ratio. And then you thus trade it in, and you end up owning twice as much gold for not spending a dime more.
Well, that certainly sounds attractive to me. Now, when you said $10,000, you just used as an example.
That's just a figure. There's no minimum. There's no maximum as far as the market. You know, I showed one of your listening audience just last week, and showed him how he could take his investment money, invest it now, down the road, we will trade it off, and we will put him into what he really wanted in the first place, and we'll end up getting him probably twice as much for it, twice as much product for the same amount of money, no extra money invested. It's called ratio trading, and like I say, it would take me a long time to explain it in detail, but I'll be glad to sit down with your clients tomorrow, or some of the other brokers can sit down, and we'll explain it in detail and show them how it's done.
Fantastic. For those of you out there listening, call Gene Miller tomorrow, or you can do it tonight. Leave a message on the machine and say you want to talk to Gene Miller, and he'll get back to you tomorrow. Or you can wait till tomorrow and talk to him personally. And the number is 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Anything you'd like to say in closing, Gene?
Well, I have two newsletters that we just recently put out. One is called The Right to Own Gold. We've been advertising that for some time. It's a must article. You need to get it, whether you buy gold from us or you buy from somebody. You need to own this, get this article, and read it. Don't just throw it on the coffee table, but take some time to read it. Another article that we just put out, a newsletter, is called How to Stop the New World Order.
Fantastic.
And both of them, and very, very important articles. Call in tomorrow. We'll get you one out right away. And last but not least, do something. Get off the fence. Quit supporting this New World Order. Quit putting your money into this system that's ultimately going to take your money, and do something. Do something that's going to protect you, going to protect your family, protect your right of freedom, and stop supporting this New World Order. There's several brokers there that will be glad to help you if I'm not available. I'll be in the office, but if I'm busy, there's others that will help you, but please call in. We'll be glad to sit down and explain anything or answer any of your questions and help you out any way possible.
Thank you, Gene. And folks, that's going to be a regular service of Swiss America Trading every Monday night at about 5 past the hour. Gene Miller will be here to give us an update and a little bit of advice and tell us how gold and silver is performing. By the way, was the London market open today?
No, it wasn't. This was with it being a holiday, the market was closed.
Well, I knew it was a holiday here, but I didn't know that where else it was a holiday. Thank you very much, Gene, and folks, get ready because we're going to have fun tonight. Tonight's going to be open phone. We're going to talk about anything that you want to talk about for the remainder of the hour. So get ready, write down your questions, make them short and sweet, and if you don't have a question, you want to say something, it's your chance. It's your chance to make an impression on the world, to make people think about something, to create ideas, to direct change, to do the things that we need to do. So get ready, write down your questions or your comments so that you won't stammer on the phone. Remember, when you call in, turn your radio off, all the way off, folks. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Cooper. It's really great to be able to talk to you. I'm a recent listener, but I read your book some time ago, and I actually heard you speak at a symposium in L.A. about a year ago. My question has to do with a section of your book that I wish I had it right in front of me where I could give you the page number, but I've loaned it out to someone. But it has to do with a statement, a question that you pose in the book about the possibility of an alien influence on religion in the world historically. And you basically, as I recall, in the book you say, you know, that is an unanswered question. You're not really even sure yourself about it. I was wondering if that's still the case, or just to get your views on it very quickly.
Be happy to. You know, a lot of people read my book, but my book, it seems to be the kind of book that people like to read selectively. I wrote it to shock people and wake them up, and I put a lot of things in there that were intended to do just that. And it's a book that must be read from beginning cover to the end cover without skipping around. At the beginning of the chapter that you're talking about, I specifically state that that entire chapter is a hypothesis based upon all the evidence that researchers and people who have looked into the UFO question and all of the papers and documents that have been leaked from the United States government. And remember, I've told you before on this program, there's no such thing as a leak. Anything that comes out of the intelligence community is intentional. It's an old ploy to manipulate populations and governments and make foreign military commanders believe that you have things deployed in one way when they're actually not, on all kinds of things. And you got to remember that this alien question is a perfect cover for a super secret technology that we may have developed ourselves. At the end of that chapter, I listed five possible conclusions based upon the information contained in that chapter. And I must say, in all honesty also, that it was based upon top-secret documents that I saw as a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence, which I've since come to believe were disinformation, and that I was used, which made me very angry when I finally began to realize that after researching and finding that there had been a plan going all the way back to before 1917 to create an artificial enemy from space to bring about a one-world government as they were planning the evolution of the League of Nations into the United Nations into a world government. What I wrote about the alien influence on religion is information that I saw in those top secret documents, and also information that's been leaked out and been written about by many, many other people. And in the New Age movement, you will find many, many books written alluding to the fact that man was a creation of an alien being from some other planet. Now, if you get into the doctrine of the Mormon Church, you'll find the same thing there, that we were created by somebody named Elohim, who was an extraterrestrial from a planet named Kalab, I believe. And all of this you can find by reading a book called The God Makers. And so this is prevalent. And what I said at the end of that chapter in conclusion number 5 was that I believe that it's the biggest hoax ever created in the history of the world to create an enemy from outside this earth, so that all the national barriers would be dropped and mankind would be willing to come together in a one-world government.
So your contention at this point, I didn't really see it as a really coming through as strong as you're saying it now.
Well, the chapter was written as if all of this were true.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the chapter, I stated that if all of these documents and all this research and all the documents that I saw when I was in Naval Intelligence is true,
right,
then this chapter is probably the greatest truth that's ever been written about the UFO and alien question.
I see.
If it's not the truth, if all these documents and this research is not the truth, then this is what the elite want us to believe about aliens.
So your contention at this point is that any information that we have in this arena is essentially disinformation.
I can't say that because I don't really know if extraterrestrials are real or not.
Uh-huh.
But I can prove that there's been a plan going back to way before 1917 to create this enemy, whether it's real or not, in order to force mankind into accepting a world government.
Right.
I can also prove that at least some of these things we call UFOs are machines, are owned and flown by secret agencies of the United States government out of a top secret test site called Groom Dry Lake or Area 51 in the state of Nevada. And I put together about an hour and 41-minute documentary where you can actually see these things fly. I filmed them. It's no secret in night and daytime.
And I guess that film is available through your...
Yeah, if you'll send a self-addressed stamped envelope and $1, send a business-size envelope, we'll send you a packet of information with everything that we have.
Well, okay, Bill, I appreciate your time, and good work. I know it's. I don't know, your rewards for this, the praise that you get from the people that follow your program and have read your book, I sure hope that helps out in some of the times that you have to, I'm sure, wonder whether what you're doing is worth the amount of effort and the amount of time you have to take away from your family.
Well, boys, I'll tell you, sometimes I wonder about it myself, but then I look at my little daughter, and the only reason I do this is for my daughter. I've got to tell you that right now. I don't want her to live in slavery, and unless we wake up and direct the course of the future of the world, that's exactly what's going to happen to her.
We all really appreciate it, and you know, there's different levels of participation. You're right down there on the front lines with this program and the books you write, and there's a lot of people out there that are just listening at this point, not really doing too much, and I might be one of them. But I realize that, you know, there's going to be action that and responsibility that everybody that is educated is going to have to take, you know, to work up from the state of sheeple into, as you put it, into, you know, a real participant in preventing, I guess is the best way we can consider preventing this one world government conspiracy.
Well, at this point,
yeah.
I have to tell you quite honestly that everything is in place. I don't believe that we're going to prevent it, but I think we can direct it away from the course that it will take if we don't wake up and become active. We could make it a good future regardless. Change is inevitable.
Right.
There's no way we can stop change. Change is going to occur. But the change that is happening now was set in motion during World War II and before. It actually began way back at the beginning of this century. And And everything over the years has been slowly put into place. They have slowly put their people into place. And we're going to have tremendous change. The kind of change we're going to have and how badly we're affected is going to depend upon how many of us become active in this and how far we're willing to let it go.
Well, this is an aspect that I wasn't aware of that you...
I've been trying to tell everybody for over a year now. That's what this show is all about.
Yeah, well, I let me ask you this then: if you believe that there's really no stemming this tide, what is the best that we can expect?
Well, it depends upon how active all of us wish to be. If everybody sits in their homes and say, "Oh, we'll let Bill take care of it," or "We'll let Joe take care of it," or "We'll let Susie take care of it," or "We'll let DV Kid take care of it," then you can expect the worst, my friend.
Well, I'll leave you on that note.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
Good night. Lines open 602-333-2174. 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, on the pyramid structure of the Mystery Babylon, the powers that are in control now, can you tell us at the top of the pyramid how many people are involved and where are they located? Would this be in the Master Lodge in Switzerland or what?
Well, according to my research, the people who control at least the branch that is most prevalent in this country, and that's Freemasonry, is right in Washington, D.C., which is the Supreme Council. Now, in all of the mystery schools, there's the legend of the nine unknown or the nine hidden supervisors. And when you get up there, you can't go any further. You can't identify those people, and I'm not sure that anybody can. They may not even exist. We know that most of the influence of the direction of the way the world is going stems from the United States and London. There is no doubt about that whatsoever. The power, the money, is in the United States, and it's in London. When you start to look for people who are calling the shots, you find a whole bunch of Europeans that no Americans ever heard of, and they mainly participate in a lodge in Italy called P2. They are members of the Club of Rome. They are members of the Bilderberg Group. When people say, for instance, I read an article in Criminal Politics not too long ago that Henry Kissinger ordered our troops into Somalia and stuff like that, it's baloney. It's total bull. I read these books about the Committee of 300. Committees are only effective in direct proportion to the number of members on the committee. The more members, the least effective. There's no such thing as a committee of 300 that could sit down and agree on anything. So you have to be very careful what you read and what you listen to.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Phone's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I've been listening to your show since I think I went on the air.
May?
I'm listening way up in the northeastern part of Canada.
That was in May 1992, May the 4th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do for you?
I'm actually interested in getting your book.
You can write to us if you already are sure that you want the books. And are you a CAGI member?
No, I'm not.
Then send $30 to William Cooper, Post Office Box 1420.
P.O. Box
1420.
20.
Sholo.
How do you spell that?
That's two words. It's spelled exactly like it sounds. S-H-O-W and L-O-W. Arizona, 85901. That's William Cooper, P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, spelled S-H-O-W-L-O-W, Arizona, 85901. If you're a CAGI member, it's $25 postpaid. If you're not, it's $30 postpaid.
85901?
85901 is the zip, yeah.
Okay, I want to, first of all, I've been listening to your show, and the guests you have on and the people you interview and just the information in general, I just find it to be astounding simply because you don't seem to come across it anywhere else, unless you start digging. Once I actually started listening to your show, and I started reading a lot of different material on myself, I was able to confirm a lot of what you were saying.
Anybody who wants to look can find it all. It's not hidden at all anymore. In fact, you could even say it's not even a conspiracy anymore.
No, well, I was never big on conspiracy theories. People who tend to think something is secretive is a conspiracy, but you are right in saying that a lot of it is out in the open.
That's right. It began in secret, and for many, many years, centuries even, it was a conspiracy. But now it is no longer hidden. It's right out in the open. Anybody who cares to look can find it.
The last question I have is, sometimes I have problems picking up your station. I get it on shortwave. I'm curious, is that just because of atmospheric conditions, or is there actually some jamming?
Well, sometimes it's what they call propagation, atmospheric conditions. Sometimes, yes, it really is jamming. And they even burned the station down once to shut us up. And occasionally they have mechanical or electronic difficulties in the station, or this transmitter has to go down for a little while for repairs.
Actually, one of them, tonight is one of those nights.
So it's a little of all of the above, depending on what we're talking about and what's happening and how old the equipment is and all that kind of stuff.
Anyway, just keep up what you're doing. I've actually got my brother hooked on listening to you now, and I'm slowly getting other people into listening.
Fantastic.
It starts with just listening. If I get them just to listen, then I can get them on to doing other things.
Well, the hardest thing to do is to get people to listen. Once they listen, then the hardest thing to do is get them to understand. Once they understand, then you got to get them to act, and that's probably the most difficult of all. But we all have to wake up, and then we all must act, and we must act in concert together without violence, because I'm going to tell you right now, this whole thing is being spurred toward creating an act of violence by the American people to justify clamping us down. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. And you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm on the air, Bill?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I got right through.
Good.
Several brief things. First, Bill, congratulations on the fine program. This is Bob in New Jersey. I've been following you for about the last year. Wonderful program.
Well, thank you.
Second item.
Actually,
concerning what? Mr. Gene Miller, who you had on middle of last week, I called Gene the following day and also want to share my comments with you. I told Gene, this is the most refreshing program, the most refreshing hour on finance that I have ever heard. You know what Gene did, Bill? He did that entire program with you. He told about why people should have some metals,
uh-huh,
part of their holdings. Never once in that entire program did he make any prediction about gold is going to do this or that, or silver is going to do this or that, in the next 6 months or the next year.
Sure.
And, you know, it just really struck me after the program was over. Never once did the guy make a prediction. And I had to tell Gene, and I had to tell you.
Well, these are great people. You know, I a lot of people wanted to sponsor this show, and I went without a sponsor for a long, long time. And we thoroughly investigated Swiss America Trading. In fact, it took us so long to investigate them that they were really wondering what was wrong. And when we finally agreed to take them on as a sponsor, it was because of the kind of people they are and that they back up their word.
Yes, and just this evening, I'm glad to hear you're going to have him on for a few minutes every Monday evening. Now, Bill, if I can get to my main question of the three.
Sure.
Often thought I would love to have the personal opportunity of asking you this question. I've heard most of your 28 programs on the Mystery Schools.
Uh-huh.
Not all of them, certainly, because you're on late at night here. Back in period about 1958 to 1970 or 72, I was a member of one of the organizations headquartered in San Jose, California.
Mm-hmm.
The Ancient Mystical Order, Rosae Crucis.
Uh-huh. I knew that when you said San Jose.
Certainly. Now, What I wanted to ask you, Bill, they always told us in the teachings that we had the manuscripts that I got every two weeks or so. They always told us that Rosicrucian order, Amoric, was not affiliated with any other Rosicrucian order.
Mm-hmm.
In all the programs that I heard you do about the mystery schools, I never once heard you refer anything whatsoever to the particular order that I belong to.
That's correct.
Okay. Is their record as clean as they wanted me to think it is? Because I never found anything in the 12, 13 years that I was a member, anything having to do with, Illuminati or whatever that you refer to. I've never found anything what I would label subversive in their teachings.
Well, you have to be very careful about what you mean by subversive. In many cases, the teaching themselves are subversive. And you have to go through and be able to identify the mystery religion and what it really means. What they're teaching, even though they are the AMORC, is the Luciferian philosophy. And if you believe in that and you want to follow it, I believe in the Constitution. You have a right to do that, but you also have to have a right to know what it is. And they don't tell you what it is. And that's the purpose of this show, and I hope you're becoming educated in that way. But the AMORC is not the same Rose Cross order that I have spoken about on this program.
Yes, okay, that was my conclusion, and that's the way I always felt, but I just wanted to check it out with you personally.
Yeah, in fact, the Rose Cross... do away with AMORC because they consider them to be a great imposter and that they've corrupted the teachings and all this kind of stuff. They're all full of crap, if you know what I mean. So.
Yeah.
And there are no big secrets except those at the top have learned the secret of how to control all the other ones at the bottom who are clamoring after the secret that they'll never learn. Mm-hmm. I have sat down with countless numbers of 32nd degree and 33rd degree Freemasons and ask them about these great secrets that they're supposed to learn as they climb up through this ladder of initiation, and not one of them could ever tell me anything that I didn't already know.
Yes, and you have to be a strong person and put it together for yourself.
That's right.
Just use these things as a guide.
That's correct.
Bill, I appreciate it. I won't take any more of your time because I'm sure there's hundreds of other people waiting to get on.
Thank you for calling.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Just four quick things. I used to really think For the People was great, but beginning to see that they're not. And I went on the air a few weeks ago and talked to Chuck Hata, and he said that his dad used to be a Mason and that he's friends with Masons, and he was trying to convince me that they're harmless. So needless to say, I don't...
Whenever you hear that talk, you're talking to one.
What?
Whenever you hear that talk, you're talking to one.
Oh.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
So I don't listen to them anymore.
Somebody who's not a Freemason has no big interest in standing up and defending them.
Yep.
Only a Freemason has that interest. If you'll read Chuck Carter's newspaper, For the People, you'll find that he's promoting the alien threat from outer space, and he's promoting it big time. Not only big time, but fraudulently. Hoagland used to be his science advisor until Hoagland found out that he was misrepresenting a whole bunch of stuff to the American people, and he told Chuck Carter to take a hike.
Okay. Also, too, right, you were mentioning about guns and them trying to get us to take all of our guns away. I don't own a gun, and I don't think I ever would, but I don't deny people their rights for guns for protection and for hunting and stuff like that. But I saw something weird a couple of weeks ago on TV. This couple were getting married in Massachusetts, and they had requested, instead of shower gifts, to have people help to turn in guns and donate money to an agency called Citizens for Safety in Boston to collect people's guns, which I thought was a kind of strange request from a couple that were getting married.
Well, not really. Some people really believe that man can live together in absolute peace, and that no one will ever threaten them, and that the government will always bestow great gifts and benefits upon them and could never become oppressive. There are people out there whom really, really believe this BS. They don't understand that the fault in the world is within each and every human being. An imperfect man, ruling imperfect man, will always move toward despotism. It's the natural course of governments throughout history. And if you look, you can see it before your very face.
Okay, two quick things. I don't know, like, if you're really familiar with the old Star Trek, but if you are, they had some guy that was supposed to be before Captain Kirk by the name of Albert Pike.
That's right.
And I was wondering if that ties in.
Yes, in fact, it's the exact same name. It's if you watch the Star Trek,
I guess he's supposed to be, like, with the ears and all. And
no, Spock is the new man.
Yep.
It's the intellect finally conquering the animal in man. It's the new super root race. That's what Spock represents.
Lucifer, right?
No, not necessarily Lucifer. You have to understand that these people don't really believe in a devil or a god. They believe that man himself is God. They believe in a pantheism. Everything is hooked together. Everything is God. Do you understand that philosophy?
Yep. I know. I've been listening to you now for a few months, and I think I only missed like two, maybe three shows of the 28 about the mystery Babylon. And, you know, that's what first got me into listening to your program. I was like spellbound listening to all that stuff. But one last comment.
Star Trek is nothing more than a series of lessons in the mysteries. And if you understand the symbolism of the mysteries and the stories of the ancient gods, and you watch Star Trek, you will be amazed at what children and people are being indoctrinated into.
Right, I remember one that they were showing Apollo and all that.
And look at the last series of six movies, and you will see from the beginning to the end where it's going. And then go back and watch 2001 and then 2010, and your education will be complete. You won't need the hour of the time.
And last thing having to do with movies and stuff like that, have you seen any ads for a movie called Fortress?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I don't know if it's any good or not, but it basically shows what you could call the end times, and it shows like putting a computer bar on like people's arms and basically just taking over the world and forcing people to bow down to the New World Order. So if you might want to check out a movie called Fortress. I'm not promoting it, and I wanted to go see it, but it's not in my area yet. But it does have to deal with taking over people, the final phases by force through
the key to whether the movie's significant or not is the symbology in the movie. If it's from the mysteries, it will be full of the symbology, and it will be talking to the other initiates. It won't be talking to us unless you have the education that I have and that many of the listeners have gained through listening to this show, and some of them on their own. That's the key. It's not in what this movie is about. There's a lot of movies about stuff like that.
Bill, if you can you try to get some background on that movie and let us know if we maybe should check it out or if it's just garbage?
Well, I'll look for it. But one company that you can always count on to be preparing the public for the New World Order is Osiris Films. Remember, Intruders was produced by Osiris Films. There's a movie on HBO now, which is an anti-gun movie called Strapped, about the little kids in the black ghetto who are pulled into the gun thing and they're killing each other. And the HBO follows that immediately with a People magazine segment on guns in schools. And that's produced by Osiris Films. And if you listen to the mystery series, you know who Osiris is and what it means.
Yep.
Look for symbols of pyramids, the rising sun, the eye.
There's probably not really anything good on TV or in movies.
There is absolutely nothing good on television anywhere.
Or movies.
That's correct.
They all seem to...
With many, many years ago, they had a big meeting of all the people who own Hollywood, and they sat down, and I have one of 500 books that were printed, and it's the papers that were delivered to that organization. And it was how not to reflect society in the movies, but how to direct society with the movies. And the name of the book is Thought Control in America. There were only 500 printed, and they were for the delegates of the movie studios who attended that meeting. So that should tell you something. Thank you for calling.
Okay, love the show, Bill.
Thank you.
Keep up.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
This is Bill.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Bill. My mistake. Listen, I've been trying to get through your book here, and I'm finding myself rereading chapters.
Good.
And it's making me very angry, and I wanted to thank you so very much.
Well, I'm glad that you are rereading. Many people go through, and it's a very difficult book to grasp the significance. And, you know, I learned somewhere that we only retain about 10% of what we read or hear the first time we read or hear it. And, you know, after I wrote the book, I had to go through and read it myself. There's that much information in it.
There is quite a bit of information. Very good. I did order it from a local bookstore, but it wasn't one of the major chains. They did have to order it for me, but I got it, and I'm enjoying it immensely.
Well, something's happening, and I don't understand really what, but people are writing me and calling me now, telling me that they're finding my book in major bookstores now, and that's never happened before.
Well, either the requests are coming up enough that it's being made available, or else they're going to use it as a disinformation ploy.
One or the other, huh?
Perhaps, I don't know. At any rate, the reason I called, could you please tell me where I might get a list of executive orders that have been signed by the last couple presidents?
Absolutely. Any major library in any big city or any major university.
Okay.
Library.
Okay.
And law
also,
school.
Also, are you aware of anywhere in the world where they're actually barcoding individuals yet? I know they're doing it to some animals.
No, I don't. But I do know that North Korea is implanting their soldiers with a microchip under their skin in inoculations.
Right, like they did in the dogs on the Iditarod.
That's correct.
Could you tell me, do you know what protection Linda Thompson might have from political imprisonment or personal injury? I feel like she's at great risk.
Well, not really. The only risk you have is if you try to hide. You see, the only thing that keeps me safe is my book and this TV show. I mean, this radio show.
Right. Well, that was actually my girlfriend's question. And the one thing that I did mention was just that in that if she disappears, people are going to be wondering.
That's what keeps her safe.
And also, if you would finally, please, could you give me some overview on this fairness doctrine and how it might affect my ability to hear your show or other shows?
Well, if you all don't contact your congressman and tell them you're going to throw them in the Pacific Ocean with 500 pounds of cement on their legs if they pass that thing, what it means is every time I say something, whoever opposes that view will have a right to make me allow them on the show for the same amount of time to give their viewpoint.
That's pretty much going to shut things down, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is not free speech, and it's designed to confuse the issue, and that's what they do on television. If you'll notice, on television, every single time they have someone who has a story to tell, they have someone sitting behind them to tell you it's not true.
Right, even the president.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what keeps Americans totally confused.
Right.
They don't understand what's going on.
You get disinformation from both sides.
That's right. On this show, what you get is what we believe to be true. I don't claim that everything that I give you people is absolutely true because I'm a human being just like you, and I'm bound to make mistakes sooner or later.
Right. And that's one thing that causes me to believe in your credibility.
And another thing that I make sure that I do is tell you, don't believe what I'm telling you, even if I know on my mother's grave that it's true. Don't believe it until you go out and check it out yourself. And at the same time, don't believe anybody else in this world either. It's for your own benefit. So in that sense, I believe that you're getting equal time on this show. Because I'm telling you, hey, don't believe what I tell you. If you believe what I tell you blindly without checking it out, you're a fool. I'm not God. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm not a hero. In fact, the minute you put me on a pedestal, I guarantee you I'll fall off because I'm one of the most human beings that you'll ever meet. I love life. And like I said, there's nobody perfect in this world. Not me, not anybody. The minute you believe in white knights and shining armor on a brilliant horse that's going to come up and save you, that's the minute you've enslaved yourself.
Well, heaven forbid any of us should think that we're illuminated. And thank you very much, sir. Mr. Cooper, I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
All your efforts.
Thank you for calling.
My pleasure. Take care.
Line's open, 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper.
Hello.
I'm calling from Ohio. I'm a recent listener.
Uh-huh.
And I
directly into your show.
You know what I need you to do is put your mouth directly in front of your telephone and talk a little louder.
Okay, is this any better?
That's a little better, yeah.
I've got a simple question. I'll try to make it quick. What's your feelings on the work of Eustace Mullins?
Well, I think Eustace Mullins has written a whole bunch of books that have an awful lot of useful information, but like anything else, you must check it out for yourself. Just like my book. I don't want you to read my book and believe it blindly. I wrote that book to wake you up and make you go try to prove me wrong. And in proving me wrong, you'll begin to find out what the truth is. And you should do the same with Eustace Mullins or anyone else. I get the feeling that people want me to tell them what books they should read to get the truth. And that's not what you should do. You should read everything. You should listen to everyone. Then you should investigate and determine the truth for yourself. And if it's really the truth, we will all arrive at the same truth. And we won't need leaders. We won't need Trojan horses. We won't have to wonder if the organization we belong to is good or not good. We won't have to wonder if the person leading us is on our side or not. Because we'll really be dealing with the real truth. And we'll be strong. No, they're not. It's all in the public domain, and anyone who wants to look and work a little bit can check it out.
The thing I wanted to ask you about was I saw that Linda had the Waco tape. I saw her speak, and she spoke about Wagon Hut.
Yes.
And what can you add to that?
Wagon Hut is a nefarious organization, to say the least. Which is mainly made up of ex-FBI, ex-intelligence officers, ex-military officers, ex-special forces people who contract to do things, and they get the contracts because they've all had security clearances and things. They're easy to clear. But the problem with that is that they all come from these different organizations which are involved in bringing about the New World Order and subverting the nation from within. They're heavy, heavy-duty guys that have been involved in some pretty shady things.
The last thing I want to ask you about tonight is years ago I read about extreme low frequency.
You've got to talk a lot louder.
about extreme low frequency radiation, about affecting the jet stream and changing our weather. I haven't heard anything more about this for a while. What do you know about this?
Well, in the first place, I don't know anything about anything changing the weather except that back in the 50s, actually the late 40s, all through the decade of the 50s and the early 60s, the different agencies of the government were, and specifically the intelligence agencies and the Air Force, were experimenting with controlling the weather. When they reached a certain point in their success ratio to success to failure, they drew the curtain of national security, and all of the research and technology disappeared behind that curtain, and nobody knows how successful they've been or just what their capabilities are. But I guarantee you, when they pull that curtain, their capabilities are becoming usually pretty good. So that's all I can tell you.
Okay, Bill. I've appreciated you talking with me, and we'll catch you again some other time.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Lines open, 602-333-2174. This is your night, your chance to say something profound. The whole world is listening to you. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Cooper. Pleasure to talk to you. I've been going through the some of the books that you gave a bibliography a few months back,
uh-huh.
A number of recommended books, and I've been working my way through it. And I would be interested to hear your opinion on the four books by Michael Bage and Lee, anything you might have to say on those books?
I think that their books are a gold mine of information. They're also a gold mine of how to get trapped in a cul-de-sac.
I'm sorry, could you repeat what?
It's also a good way to get trapped in a cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay, right.
In other words, don't go off chasing the rabbit down the hole. Stick to what you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
And what we're looking for is to identify the enemy. Okay?
Okay.
If you get wrapped up in all of this other stuff, if you get lost in dogma, or if you're chasing something to prove a point in your religion, you're lost.
Right, right.
You have to be looking for the truth and only the truth, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts you.
Okay.
That's the best advice I can give you. That's the advice I try to follow.
All right. Just one other bit of information also regarding the books. I had a gentleman, actually, with someone I went to high school with, come into my place of business, and striking up a conversation, it turns out he's a 32nd degree Mason, and he informed me that we got to talking about books, that the gentleman who wrote Born in Blood and Dungeon of Fire and Sword, John Russell,
John Robinson,
his name was, became a Mason after writing Born in Blood.
Yeah, they had to shut him up.
Oh, really?
They had to get him to take those oaths.
I thought that was interesting, because I remember...
Hey, he was opening the doors, and the only way to get him to shut up is either kill him or get him to take the oaths. But he wrote those books. They couldn't kill him. Everybody in the world would have known who did it.
Right, right.
So they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, I would imagine. You know, I'm just guessing, but
yeah.
But that's how you shut somebody up. I've been approached by these people, too, trying to get me to come down to the lodge and look at their library and... see that they're not really what I think they are, and I just have to look them in the eye and say, you know, either you're one of the sheeple down at the bottom slathering after the secrets and you haven't discovered what's really going on yet, or you're one of the biggest liars that I've ever met. And they give me this kind of guilty look and slink away with the tail between their legs, because I know what's going on. And so I'm not prone to being fooled, and I don't have a price like some people do.
Yeah.
See, my price is my daughter, and they don't have her. I've got her.
Well, I have a young daughter also, and I feel the same way.
Yeah.
One last thing, and I'll let you go. One thing I've noticed in watching TV, and that is the commercials for, I guess, Dodge or Dodge Trucks. Have you happened to notice the symbol of the Ram?
Oh, yeah, of
course. The next time you see it on TV, it's very, the new logo they use.
Dodge Trucks is a symbol of the Ram. That's the goat of Mendes.
Right.
You'll also see the Chrysler is the pentagram with the five-pointed star. And all these are symbols of the occult, the mystery school.
It's just that the new logo that they use is even more, to me anyway, it just jumps up right out of the screen. It seems more obvious.
You're going to see more and more and more. You think Mazda is an innocent name? Go back and look up the ancient gods. See who Mazda was. Stop walking around with your head in the clouds. And I'm not speaking to you personally. I'm speaking to all the sheeple out there.
Right.
People,
okay.
Thank you very much
for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Folks, these corporate names aren't chosen at random out of the air. They have meaning. They mean something to the people who run the corporation. And many times you can figure out who these people are and what they're about by the symbology that they use. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening. One of the things that I've noticed lately is that we've lost the government, and President Clinton here has become a dictator, number one. Number two, the Congress was forced to push that tax bill through, and
Congress,
that was really a great thing because time ran out.
Congress was not forced to do anything. They put it through because they wanted to put it through. They have to make it look like it's against their will. Did you know that CAGI members predicted that exact vote?
Uh-huh. I figured as much. And did we also hear that Mikhail Gorbachev is now living in the United States in San Francisco?
Well, I don't know if he's living there, but he certainly has facilities at the Presidio in San Francisco, which used to be an army base.
Right, right.
That's absolute fact, and you can stop listening to what people tell you. Get a San Francisco phone book from your library and look it up. He's there, right in there, right in the phone book.
Okay, well, you know, I'm getting more and more scared the more that I see here. You know, it's getting worse and worse, and the handwriting on the wall is not written with invisible ink anymore.
Well, don't get scared. That's how they control you.
Yeah, well, this is it. You know, it's...
Don't be afraid.
You have to realize what you have to do.
If you're doing the right thing, you will be taken care of no matter what, either in this life or the life after.
Okay. Well, it was good talking to you up here in New Hampshire, so we'll catch you again, maybe.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Okay, got time for about one more caller, 602-333-2174, and you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
This is John from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Hi, John.
Hi. I love your show. I've been listening since you started on WCR last year. Let's see, to answer a couple questions posed earlier by callers, The group in Boston, according to the Boston station, they collected about 1,200 guns. Let's see. And then Terry Cook was a guest on Brother Stair's show a while back, and he says that they've been planting these chips in people in Thailand. And let's see. Well, why I called is, now I have a VCR or anything. I don't have any of your films. But regarding the Kennedy shooting, do you know your sources well enough? Have you ruled out the possibility of them having doctored that film using high-resolution interpolation software?
Boy, where have you been? I've proven they doctored the film.
No, I know they doctored it, but I mean, they could have inserted those extra frames.
No.
Bogus.
No. No.
No?
No. No, that's the real film, but the film has been doctored in many, many places, and that's what my film, The Sacrificed King, shows you. Shows you all the occult significance of Dealey Plaza and the wounds that Kennedy suffered and the whole works.
But if the driver had turned and shot, did I hear correctly? Did you say that the...
I said that I saw in top secret documents while I was with the Office of Naval Intelligence that the driver was the one who administered the head wound. I looked for years for a film that would show it. I finally found a film that appeared to show it, and I believe that that's what it was showing. Now that I managed to get a first-generation copy on 35mm of the Zapruder film, I have been able to prove that the film has been extensively doctored, and in the area of the front seat, everything has been doctored, and you can't tell if William Greer actually shot the president or not. He either did, and they've doctored the film to cover it up, or they've doctored the film to make it look like he did, to back up the documents that I saw when I was with the Navy.
If nothing else, Jacqueline would have seen that.
It doesn't make any difference. The film proves, beyond any shadow of a doubt, a conspiracy, because the film was doctored by the conspirators. That's the whole point.
But it was only an 8mm film, and using high-resolution TV, they can...
I have a degree in photography. I can see what's been done to that film, and there's no TV involved. You can't take a film of TV and put it on celluloid and make it look like film. Can't happen.
Okay. I got you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The television does not have the resolution that even the poorest film has. Well, folks, that about does it. Thank you for calling, for the last caller, and I really urge you people to get that film, The Sacrificed King. And if you can afford it, get the Atlanta lecture video, because that tells the whole story. It's over 7 hours in length, and it has everything that you ever need to know. Good night, and God bless you all. Could it be a female?